Luke 7. We're still studying what a prophet is. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, we're looking at Luke 7. 26, but we can go. Luke, 1 Corinthians 14. Remember, in the New Testament, prophecy is not foretelling as the future, but forthtelling. And it's declaring the counsel of God clearly, without any mixing with the world or any attempt to please men. By that definition, it's the theology of the cross. Every other theology is a theology of glory. Every other way of thinking is a theology of glory. Because it all tends to even nihilism, or however you pronounce it. Which is essentially nothingness, is a theology of glory. So we're looking at forthtelling. So this is instructions or order in worship. In verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now,
so, this is a... talking about speaking in tongues, but tongues where everybody can understand it, and then there's another person who interprets it, but the person is saying in tongues. So then,
right, and if there isn't somebody to interpret, he should shut up.
Pardon me?
If there's no one to interpret, he should shut up.
Right.
But revelation stands in a necessary connection with prophecy. There is a intrinsic demand to that all the prophesying would be in connection in agreement with the doctrine into which we have been delivered. And it becomes very easy to see when it isn't. And so, again, prophecy in the New Testament is forthtelling, not foretelling. Amen? All right, let's go back to Luke 7. Wait a minute, let me see if there's anything more on prophets. Well, I think that's probably a good idea.
Not me like that.
I can be silent. I'm just
go on. You're top of you later.
Remember, you got to hear this in terms of understanding. In the church, there's neither male nor female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, young or old. There's but a new creation.
But some churches believe that.
Well, I don't care what some churches believe. And so if we are a true church, then the idea of women keeping silence in a church, this was instructions to a particular church in Corinth that was going wild with prophetesses saying all kinds of wild things. And it was obvious they weren't speaking as the new creation, they were speaking as busybodies.
Here it says, let women keep silence in the church.
Well, there were several churches in Corinth.
Right.
Corinth was known for its abject weirdness. That's why that doesn't exist today. Anyway, that's my interpretation of it.
It's kind of what we got going on today.
All right, let's go back to Luke. Verse 27, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Let's first go to Isaiah. This is, remember in Matthew's version of this, Jesus called John the Baptist. He said, this is, if you can hear it, this is Elijah. He's talking about John the Baptist, the ministry of Elijah. That's why when we do Passover, again, I say this all the time, and everybody drinks the cup of Elijah, what that means is you are agreeing that your purpose in life, your purpose of speaking, is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. But you first have to do that in you. Again, we're back to the let every speech be seasoned with salt. If any man speak, let him speak. It's from the oracle of God. So and then we have, by the same token, I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus. And we have that whole time issue again. The seventh angel stands inside you and says, for you, you've redeemed the time. Time is no longer. For the mystery of God is completed. What's going on, Gary?
Yeah, repentance and time are closely associated.
Oh, they're directly associated.
Yeah, because without
repentance,
there's no need for time, vice versa.
Well, but my point is, if true repentance will always bring forth eternity. No, you're gonna talk some more before I answer it? I said once in a speech that the greatest preachers in the country were the network nightly newscasters because they brought forth fruit necessary for repentance by showing the emptiness and vanity of the human race better than any preacher did. So bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance means showing the emptiness and futility and vanity of human effort. Got it?
Got it.
But you can't bring forth fruit necessary for repentance in someone else until you brought it forth in you.
How do you not make an effort?
An effort to what?
To do anything.
Because you die. You're not supposed to die, you are dead. You are crucified with Christ. 2,000 years ago, there's been an imposter living, and his name is Ronnie. And you've created this imposter. That's why he must die. He must see himself as dead, that the new life, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory, will be revealed. You cannot use your mind to gain this. You have to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And then it will apprehend you instead of you trying to apprehend it. It meaning the mystery of godliness.
Yeah, that's been one of my issues since becoming a believer, is how do you bring fruit necessary for repentance?
Do it all the time.
You see, you just look at your life. Then you don't want to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. You want to live in la-la land. Okay, thank you. Let's go to, now we're talking about the messenger. This is him whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before you." So let's go to Isaiah 40. To start with. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley or low place shall be exalted, and every mountain or high place and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now that's all that you do. You bring forth fruit necessary for repentance by bringing every valley, bringing up every valley, and bringing down every high place. And how is that done? Only by speaking, bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance, to show the idiocy of your mind and your life and your plans and your ideas and your ambitions. That's the way that these, and if you're, oh, I'm also depressed, to show, bring up that low place, that valley. How? By the revelation of Christ. You have, let's look, and it says more.
I was about to ask another question.
Well, that's nothing new. In verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Or his work is assured, is what it says. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. It's all done. All flesh is as grass. And the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. And so all these great ideas and things that keep you off the mercy seat, you've got to see the futility of it. And all these opinions and ideas about how the world should be or how you should be are gone. What?
Now, you just after a while have to try to find out for sure in your own self. There's no question about it. There are distractions and diversions that have no relationship to eternal life.
I remember that old lesson you taught us on distraction.
Okay, verse and chapter Isaiah, verse 9, chapter 9. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now what that's saying is the government of your life is no longer on your shoulder, your head, your mind, your emotions. The government for your life is now on his shoulder. You've been bought with a price. There's nothing about you that is yours any longer. You leave it, you just leave all you. You get a divorce from yourself. That's what you did when you were baptized. As I said, if that wasn't it, all you did in baptism was got wet. You got a divorce from yourself when you were baptized. And that divorce, there's no reconciliation. Amen? Well, you got to stop seeing the difference. It's just being. You don't see yourself as two anymore. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see everything as one. Everything is finished. Wherever you look, you see the perfection of his holiness. You no longer look at, you see through. No more. Again, I would ask you, the other alternative is to live by your senses. How has that worked out for you? You still think that if only, or oh, what if, then I'd be okay? No, you wouldn't. Oh, I want to go to Paris because there I'll be happy. No, you wouldn't, because you take you with you. Oh, if I only had this, or if I only had that, that's just lies from the depth of hell. But oh, how you love to think on it. Well, listen carefully. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. All you have to do is get out of the way. Remember, the mark of God is his humility, because he empties all into the Son. The mark of the Holy Spirit is his humility, because he empties all into the Son. And the mark of the Son is his humility, because he cannot occupy where you are, and he only reveals the Father. But you don't want to believe in that Holy Trinity. You want to believe in an unholy quartet that has you in it. What?
It's this mystery of dying.
It's either total or it's nothing. You can't be a little bit dead. You can't be in the process of dying. I mean, if you died 2,000 years ago, what process are you in?
Well, that's suffering.
Huh?
Like Paul says, I've suffered the loss of all things. He's got this.
But they're not his sufferings, they're the sufferings of Christ. He's filling up the affliction that is lacking in the body through his suffering. It has nothing to do with him. Because he doesn't see separation.
That's the mystery.
He didn't run around saying, well, he says it, I'm the chief of sinners, and then he forgets about it. He forgets himself. He neglects everything about himself. And just as you these leaves and these trees, there's going to be, pretty soon they're going to start falling. But you'll see a leaf, one or two leaves, so that stay on until next spring. And the only way they get out is when the other bud comes forth from it, or from the tree. Well, that's just... You know, again, the whole theology of God can be revealed in that pecan tree in the back. Jesus was the first pecan. He fell into the ground and died. And the tree was, and then the tree grew and it was shaken. And all on Pentecost, then the whole world was full of pecans. Well, I'm a black pecan. I'm a white pecan. I'm a Buddhist pecan. I'm a Christian pecan. I'm a this pecan. I'm a male pecan. I'm a female. No. The pecan falls into the ground and dies. If you don't die, you're just going to become squirrel crap. I almost was not that polite. All right, let's go to let's go to Haggai. See if we can find Haggai.
Left to right.
I'll give you a hint. Haggai lived at the same time that Zechariah did. Haggai chapter 2. Let's review a little bit. Remember, the book of Haggai was written during the time that Ezra and Nehemiah had brought forth the people from Babylon, from captivity. And they came back only to reveal, they were supposed to build the temple. They were supposed to find Haggai.
No, that's almost there. Kept going.
And what was going on? First of all, only the poorest of the poor people heeded the call of Ezra and Nehemiah from Babylon. Only the people who were in trouble. And so those came. And they came back with Ezra and Nehemiah to Jerusalem. Now, Haggai comes 16 years later. And what happened? The people, instead of building the temple, were building their own houses. They had done the cornerstone and the altar, and they had built no temple. And so Haggai comes along, it's about the same time as Zechariah, and raises hell. And let's see what he says in chapter 1. Then came, verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I'll take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, you run every man unto his own house or his own interests." Now that's the condition, and by God in heaven, that's the condition today 10,000 times worse than this. This was just 16 years after the call. Now it's 2,000 years after the call, and his people are still in rebellion, each one seeking after his own instead of the mystery of God. Amen? Now, let's go. Chapter 2. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel." Now, this temple that they're rebuilding now is called Zerubbabel's temple. It was first the temple of Samuel, then the temple of Zerubbabel, and then the temple of Herod, Herod's temple. So those were the three temples. "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw the house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people in the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt or out of the world, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house, with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of the latter house," shouldn't be there, "shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, that should give us pause. The rebuke, spent all your time in building your own house, building concerned with your own interests. But now, even in that condition, God is saying, be strong. Strong in faith. He is still with us, in spite of our rebellion. What?
Well, the word when you talked about the whole point is seeking the mystery at all times, in every way, whatever you're doing. That's our thrust. That's our focus.
It's our life. You see Him in everything.
And then the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. That's our
rest. If you're empty. All right, let's go to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's what the scripture that Jesus, but listen to what he says. But who may abide the day of his coming, or the day of his presence? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Anyway. Consider these things. Amen? So when Jesus said that John the Baptist was the one that fulfilled this, everything we've just talked about, and he had fulfilled it 2,000 years ago, what happened? We saw what happened by reading Haggai. Instead of it, for 16 years, people went to use the mystery for their own purposes, or tried to. It's 2,000 years. But I truly believe, just like everybody in the New Testament, that the end will come in my lifetime. That seventh angel will stand in truth and say, the mystery of the bride, or the mystery of God, is completed. Time shall be no more. Just as Noah condemned the world with his obedience, so can you. What are you thinking about, Mr. Bojo? You see it? Do you like it? Anybody else? Miss Josanna? Take a big guy.